I think it's a large risk if we can't provide housing for our people that our workforce in particular, and also what we've seen is a great influx of homeless, that the problem continues to get worse.
Our conversation today focuses on affordable housing. It's an issue that's discussed more and more in the Upper Cumberland as more and more growth takes place. Our guest, Sparta City Administrator Tanya Tindall, Sparta Mayor Jerry Lowry, Lori Elder Burnett is the mayor of Livingston, James Mills is Cookeville's city manager. I want to ask you about a Cookeville-specific issue, and that is, if you've driven around town in the last 5 years, it feels like every nook and cranny that's available has been turned into rental property. Mm-hmm. Is that a concern? Or is that what the market is driving?
Well, I think that's, you've hit on it, that, and we, our philosophy, my philosophy is a lot of this is market driven. If we didn't have a demand for rental properties, then I think developers would look at other options, owner occupied. And a lot of that's personal choice. At least that's what I've learned, is a lot of people don't want to be an owner. They want to be a renter. And I think that's why you've seen so many townhomes go up, that a lot of those are rental. We've not had an enormous amount of apartments, but in our surveys, almost every apartment is occupied right now. And that's people paying well over $1,000, some people close to $2,000 a month in rent for an apartment. Now, that's a lot of that, as we talked about this earlier, is on supply. If we had it, if we could increase the supply, that's going to drive down the cost, because an apartment owner or a townhome owner can't let that sit there vacant. They've got to have somebody in there. So, again, a lot of it goes back to supply. And then we've talked on this. You've got to have the land area for people to develop. But even with all that, development is expensive. And developers don't get into this for out of altruistic purposes. It's to make a profit. And I don't blame them, because you never know what you run into when you start building. You don't know, if you're going to hit a sinkhole, if you're going to hit a floodplain. I mean, you should know if you hit a floodplain, because we have those mapped, but there's all different types of issues that, and risk for a developer. So, yeah, profit's part of it.
Jerry, when you talk to developers and they say, you know, we're interested in Sparta, for example, you know, what are they saying? What are the obstacles? What are the things that you hear from them?
Honestly, most of the development that's in White County, Sparta, is not inside the city limits. Tanya and I we've had a piece of property that we're still sitting on right now, the old Baker School property over there. We had went to some developers about some senior housing. If we got a space here that we could probably put 20 or 30 to 50 units of homes for senior housing, that comes with the Section 8 rental stuff and things like that, with some of the government helps. And the developers didn't want to touch it. And so they don't want to do it inside the city limits. So we're still sitting on that property looking at knocking it down and making pickleball courts out of it. And so that's an area. But other than that, most of the developers are going outside the city limits and going to the county and trying to to buy up a farmland and then chop it up. And you see them all over White County right now that and they're just asking people to buy them and then build a home. And the average listing price right now in White County for a home is like $350,000. So you can rent a home for, you know, $1,000 to $1,500 for a place, or you can try to go into debt like that. And that's, like you said, people are choosing a lot of times just to rent because of the it's just easier in their pocketbook, but it's still gaining them nothing in the future.
This is not a discussion about government-supported housing, but Tanya, I think it is important to note here that the federal government's willingness to be involved in housing projects in 2025, and it has nothing to do with this administration, it's just something that has changed. Mm-hmm. It's not like it was in the 1960s.
No, absolutely not. I actually had a phone call from a government investor about a week and a half ago, and we told them about this piece of property that we had and kind of told her kind of it already has all the, you know, the infrastructure and everything there for them to have. And she laid down a couple little baselines of things they were going to have. And on that phone conversation, she said, this is not going to be feasible for us. We're not going to be able to do it. And it was going to provide 48 units. And she basically said, we're not going to be able to do it because the funding is not there. We don't have the backing to do it.
We're talking about the issue of affordable housing. Our conversation continues with Jerry Lowry, Tanya Tindall, Lori Elder Burnett, and James Mills. Cookeville City Manager James Mills, Tanya Tindall, Sparta's City Administrator, Lori Elder Burnett, the Mayor of Livingston, Jerry Lowry, the Mayor of Sparta. We've talked about some of the mechanics. Lori, I want to get down to the people part of this. At the end of the day, I know each one of you wants to make sure that the people who work in your respective town can live in your town. If you work at Livingston Regional, you know, if you are a server at a restaurant, if you work at one of the downtown department stores, you want those people to have the chance to live in Livingston.
Absolutely. You know, that is a good question. Other than, you know, what we had talked about, the one developer that is coming in, we do have a couple of, you know, positives in Livingston is, you know, I just want to brag on our housing authority. Over the last several years, they really made a lot of improvements on those, and they are, you know, low-income housing. But those have really had a facelift. They're they're a pleasant place to live, and they have done a great job with those. We also have a nonprofit that is called Adam in Livingston that has built some houses, some for veterans. They're not all for veterans, but they are trying to invest in the community and help with that situation as well. Just outside of the city limits, we do have Governor's Place Apartments that is income-based. I don't know that they're full, but, you know, there are some positive things. And hopefully, if the developer we talked about that's already been to the Planning Commission can get that ready to build, we may have some more housing opportunities.
Cookeville has significantly invested in some of the development on Buffalo Valley Road with Highlands mm-hmm. Residential. You've also invested in Habitat and the subdivision that was built kind of on the northwest corner, I guess, of the city.
That's true, and we continue to plan to do that in the future. We think it's important. We're talking about, you know, how do we provide workforce housing? A lot of that goes back to wages, and there is not a lot cities can do about that. There are some things, and Cookeville in particular, for the last 5 or 6 years, we've had a concentrated effort to try to improve the pay of our employees, our own employees, of the 500 people that work for the city of Cookeville. And we've done a pretty good job of that, but, you know, our average salary now is probably in the $50,000 range. $50,000 is not like it was 10 years ago, and that doesn't afford you a lot of opportunities to purchase a home, which is difficult, and it's hard for us to keep up with. Another thing that we're concentrating on is only recruiting industries that pay a living wage, and that's not $12, $15 an hour, which is what we got for many, many mm-hmm. years. If you're not a high-paying company, then we're not involved in recruiting those now, and it's important. Now, we've not had a lot of success of that, but we have limited, and same for residential, we don't have a lot of industrial land left either, and we want to make sure what we do have goes to those high-paying jobs that we hope and will provide or require that our incentives that those employ local people, that they not bring in from the outside the large portion of their employees.
You mentioned your city employees, and again, back to that idea of you're wanting a place where the people who work in a community can live. You know, you obviously want a place where Cookeville Regional employees can live. You want a place mm-hmm. where the Tennessee Tech staff can live. I mean, that's three huge employers right there that you want to make sure they can live in Cookeville.
Well, that's very, very important. If not Cookeville, a lot of them, as you mentioned earlier, probably live in Sparta and live in Livingston and in the county. Again, because we just don't have a huge supply in Cookeville. But, yeah, it's very important that they have places they can live. And we hear that often, that I just can't find a place.
Larry, if I could piggyback on what he just said, to keep people in your community, living to work where you live, it helps the economic stability of the community, because I'm spending my money where I live. I'm working there. I'm not going everywhere else unless maybe a trip or something. But So it helps. It helps in that area as well. So it's a good that we can do that. It just it's hard to get. And I was looking at the stats. The income, the price of income versus the price of homes in Sparta. The lower the number is better. In Sparta is 3.6. In Cookeville it's 4.4. So that if you spent all of your money, 100% of your income to pay off your home, you could do it in 3.5 years. The lower that's better. Cookeville's is higher. And so there's got to be, and you're right, we can't control the wages that people are getting. So we've got to try to do something to figure out how to help the housing prices come down. And I don't see it coming down without some kind of intervention, maybe with the federal government help lowering the interest rates at least some to help with that.
To your point, the Upper Cumberland has also benefited from that.
Yes.
That maybe benefit is a too strong a word, but a lot of the growth that you're seeing in Baxter, in the western edge of Putnam County, and in Smith County is people that can no longer afford to live in Nashville.
Right.
But think about the impact on your life when you're having to drive from Nashville to Baxter every day.
I know many people that they're driving 2 hours. They're if you look at the Baxter exit, you can't get off of that exit. Or easily at times, and the parking lot there for people commuting to Nashville, they meet there and carpool. It's packed every day, and the same thing up here at 111, and people just dispersing and trying to find ways to make it cheaper to travel. But you're spending hour and a half, 2 hours if you get caught in traffic, so 4 to 5 hours a day just driving back and forth, and that puts a strain on your family as well.
It's one thing to drive from Sparta to Cookeville.
Yes.
That's another thing. We're talking about affordable housing and the issues in the Upper Cumberland. Lori Elder Burnett is mayor of Livingston. Tanya Tindall, Sparta City Administrator. James Mills is Cookeville City Manager. Jerry Lowry is the mayor of Sparta. We've kind of outlined the problems. James, the issue is it's hard to figure out solutions. There are not easy buttons you can push to make this issue and solve it.
No, there's not. And we've talked about the Upper Cumberland, but this is not unique to Cookeville or the Upper Cumberland. Mm-hmm. It's all across the state of Tennessee. Most of the United States has this same problem. And I've talked to city managers and administrators across the state and the country, and they're all scratching their head and trying different things. Now, one thing that we've not done directly here, and you mentioned earlier that we had given to the Habitat and also to the Highlands Residential, but something that could be explored, and that would take approval of the local legislative bodies, are direct financial incentives to developers. As we talked about, they have to make a profit. We understand mm-hmm. that. You don't get into this business without they got to feed their families and all their employees.
Sure.
But one option to look at that could be considered are direct financial incentives to developers. If they'll, mm-hmm. the city and the county could give pilots or other tax relief or even direct financial contributions to developers if they meet certain criteria for housing in terms of lowering the price of the homes or mm-hmm. in rent subsidies. And that may be where we're close to that point of that happening here. And that does happen in large cities. Nashville has that, most of your larger cities, but we may be to that point where we have to look at some type of incentives to developers to provide housing and meet workforce housing in particular. But that is an option.
Give us a brief explanation because pilots is a term that's used in your world. It's more used with recruiting industry.
It mm-hmm. is, but we actually have a pilot, different pilots with Highlands Residential. So a pilot is a payment in lieu of taxes. So Highlands Residential, in lieu of paying property tax, they pay an agreed upon amount to the city each year for us to cover the services that we provide. We still provide police protection, fire protection, garbage pickup. But that pilot is much less than what they would pay in a direct property tax payment. So those additional funds can go into their operation and actually hopefully build additional units. Now, another thing about any housing authority that maybe the federal government, the state government could help us out on is they are limited in the number of units that they can actually construct and manage. Mm-hmm. They can only build so many, and then I think ours is in the 200s, some number like that, when we probably have a need of double, triple that. And I don't know what the red tape you have to go through to get that to increase, but, you know, I think that's a need.
I talk about it a lot, not necessarily with my governing body, but I do think it is something that we need to make sure that we are that we have out on the table, and that we are staying up with the issue and seeing if we can provide some solutions when needed. We do try to work with our developers and our industries trying to locate in Livingston to try to make the process easy. So I think that is definitely a conversation that needs to be had.
Do you see the signs of some of what's happening in Cookeville, for example, where more and more people are having to look at Livingston and Overton County as a place to live?
Yes, we definitely have growth. And even personally, what we were talking about, the younger kids, like what we spoke with the lady outside, it is, both of my kids have bought a house in the last year, and they're like, how do people do it? Because they said, we know how difficult it is for us as young 20-something-year-old couples trying to find some housing. So, that's something that's certainly on the forefront of my mind a lot for our young people that we're trying to keep in our community as well once they graduate high school or TCAT or Ball State.
This is a real hard one. The mayor and the board, we have had this discussion several times over the last just couple of months talking about this. And we as government, we try to do for services and try to make it a safe place. And the people that come here, we want to make it like all the parks and everything great. But then when they do come to visit, that's wonderful. But the people that come to City Hall and say, hey, I need a map, I just moved here, and I had to move into the county because I couldn't find anywhere to live here. We had a lady this week come in City Hall, and she basically just said, I wanted to live inside the city, but I couldn't find anywhere to live. She was an elderly lady. And so she had been on a waiting list at one of the places that we had there in town, and she said, I just couldn't wait anymore. I had to go ahead and move. So it's on our minds, and we have dug deep. We have called, legislators and everywhere trying to find different solutions, and we have come to a block wall.
Jerry, is the most important thing just to keep talking about it?
It is. We need to leverage. I think James is onto something with, we need to leverage developers at times, because the profits that I've been told they're getting is quite large at times. And maybe we could, if we're going to leverage them in some way with tax incentives, with lowering of tap fees and picking out all the fees that when you come in to build a home, if we lower that, they in turn need to lower the price of the house. And I'm not seeing the willingness to do that. So we need to leverage that as well. We also need to, I think, work harder at some of the federal programs, federal and state programs, that the CBDG grants and things, they got restrictions. And you can't have only one going at a time. Maybe we need to have three going at a time and things like that, where we can access more of that money so we can have the infrastructure ready if a development comes in and we're sitting there ready for it to go, instead of having to wait for, because time is money. Developers don't want to wait for a year. They want it to happen right now and get it going. And so if we could lessen some of the regulations and maybe get our hands on some of the monies to help with the grants to develop, maybe that would expedite the process a little bit.
One option that I thought about and we had some discussions on is, and as a planner at heart, which is what I was trained to be, is a long-range plan to address housing. And I've not seen that. It's maybe that's something our elected officials should consider, and it didn't have to be just for Cookeville or Putnam County, but for the Upper Cumberland. Maybe the formation of a committee to study this issue with the goal of developing specific objectives and policies for all of us to follow, to adhere to. But this committee could be comprised of a wide range of experts in housing, like, for example, the Housing Authority, Highlands Residential, Habitat, even people dealing with the homeless issue, But we don't have one cohesive plan for us to all to buy into. And this is how we, you know, this is our goal. How do we achieve that? And if that's specified somewhere, I think that all gives us all some guidance on how to best address this issue.
That's a great idea because that's what this community did several years ago as it related to workforce, of trying to come together and we've seen success on that. Thanks for the discussion. It's an important one to continue having. Lori Elder Burnett is Livingston's mayor. James Mills is Cookeville City Manager. Tanya Tindall is Sparta's City Administrator. Sparta Mayor Jerry Lowry. Thank you all for being with us today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.